Well, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for our Good Friday service. My name is Cliff Carey. I get to serve as the executive pastor here at Sunrise Community Church. And this evening, we are filming this in my family room. And so this is where my family is going to be celebrating or remembering Good Friday right alongside all of you. It's easy often to go straight to Easter. It's easy to think about the celebration of He is risen and everything that goes along with that. But tonight we want to take that moment to slow down and to remember what Christ did on the cross, to remember the suffering that He went through, to remember that pain, and ultimately to remember His death that was a sacrifice for every single one of us. And so my prayer for all of us is that this would be an evening where God reminds us so clearly of His sacrifice. And part of that is going to be that we will take communion together, the Lord's Supper. And I would encourage you to get the elements together to be able to do that. Here in my home, we're going to be having a little bit of bread and some apple cider to go along because we don't have any grape juice or wine or anything like that. The important thing is that you have some elements that are going to symbolize the blood of Christ, that will symbolize the body of Christ. In just a moment, we're going to watch a video together. But before that, let's pray as we begin our service tonight. Father, oh Lord, it's almost impossible for me to completely grasp what You did on the cross and the fact that You would send Your Son to go through such pain and such suffering. My simple prayer for every one of us tonight is that we could get a glimpse of understanding of what You did on the cross so that we can celebrate even more the amazing gift of our salvation. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to You in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you. coming out of that video, I can't help but reflect on the pain that Christ endured for my sins. It just starts to sink in how deep his sacrifice was for every sin, not just of me, but all of us, that he would endure that on the cross. I think about the fact that Jesus didn't have to go through this, that he could have called down legions of angels. He could have literally performed one of the greatest miracles ever, and then in that moment set up his earthly kingdom and done all of that. But in the end, that was not his calling. That was not his purpose. His purpose was to become the Passover lamb. And that's kind of interesting when you think about it, because if we go backwards just one more day from Friday to Thursday, on that Thursday, Jesus was with his disciples and he's looking to them and he says, hey, go and find this upper room and I want you to put together things for the Passover meal that we're going to celebrate tonight. And his disciples, I'm sure, were thinking, wow, you know, we get to celebrate the Passover with our rabbi, with our teacher, with our leader. He's going to take us through this. This is going to be an amazing time together. And as Israel had been celebrating the Passover for the last 1,300 years, they would always look back and they would remember, without forgetting, the things that God did for them so many years earlier. They would remember that fateful night as Israel was stuck in captivity in the nation of Egypt, when the angel of death would come over the land, when the angel of death would strike dead the firstborn son in every home. And yet Israel would put the blood of an innocent lamb without blemish over the doorway in every one of their houses. And that was how the angel would know not to stop and to put that firstborn to death in that home. An incredible miracle that took place and saved the nation of Israel that night in Egypt. And they would continue to remember that for the next 1,300 years. And so undoubtedly the disciples had that on their mind as they were heading into this evening of celebrating the Passover with Jesus. But it was so much different for him, because he was getting ready to point them to what would happen in his life in the next 24 hours. And so I'd like you to join me. I ask you to bring your Bibles along. Join me in Luke chapter 22 tonight. That is the passage that involves the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to read this passage together, and then we're going to talk a little bit about this, but then give you a couple of minutes to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper together in your homes. So let's read together. We're in Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. And he replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. And verse 14, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body for you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And then verse 21, "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. So I think, I hope that you're able to take yourself back there 2,000 years to that Passover meal, reclining with Jesus, his disciples, remembering what had happened in Egypt, but then having Jesus saying, this is a little different, because when you take this bread and you break it, this is actually my body, Jesus. This is my body that's getting ready to be broken for you. And when you eat it, you're going to do this remembering me. And he would take that cup, and it would be symbolic of his blood. This is my blood. It's a sacrifice. And he's told them he is getting ready to go suffer. And so tonight, as we take these elements together, remember his body, broken. Often when I bite on that piece of bread, I like to reflect that I am the one breaking his body right there as I bite into that. I am the one giving him that punishment. And yet, as I take the juice and the apple cider here, as I drink this, he is filling me with his forgiveness, that I am taking part in that forgiveness that comes through his shed blood. This is something that we celebrate as followers of Christ. And scriptures are clear that taking communion is something you do to remember Jesus as an acknowledgement of what he did for you, for me. And so we are going to pray together, and then we are going to put some music on, and with a bit of a blank screen there for a few minutes, and allow you and your family, if you're gathered together, to enjoy and to take this Passover meal, this communion, the Lord's Supper, together. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are gathered here tonight, remembering what you did for our sins, remembering the suffering that Jesus went through, the brokenness in his body, but then also the blood and the redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. Oh Lord, I thank you so much that you forgave my sins on the cross, and that I don't have to work to earn that salvation from you, that it is a free gift. And so, Lord, tonight, in the power of your Holy Spirit, would we be able to understand that gift? In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's enjoy the Lord's Supper together. Thank you. Well, I don't know about you, but that is the very first time that I've ever done communion online. So fun new experience, I suppose. But it's good to be here knowing that all over at the same time, there are so many of us that are participating in this together. And so no regulations or bars on public gatherings are going to keep us from being able to celebrate the Lord's Supper or to celebrate Good Friday as we are doing tonight. As I'm just thinking back and reflecting on the sacrifice that that Jesus made for us, I want to dig a little deeper into the story. And I think it requires that we go back in time even more. So we kind of started at Easter. We went back 2 days to Good Friday. We went back a day to remember the Passover and to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But now I want to go back another 700 years or so. And the prophet Isaiah is the one who is speaking to God's people on behalf of God. And his, interestingly enough, his name literally means the Lord saves. And so get those Bibles out, and we're going to open up Isaiah and move to chapter 52. And I want to read verses 13 through 15. So we're in Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, chapter 52, verses 13 through 15. And here's what Isaiah would say 700 years before Jesus was walking on the earth and before that night when he would suffer on the cross. Isaiah says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." Boy, isn't that interesting that so many years before, he talks about this Savior, he prophesies about this Savior who would have an appearance that is disfigured, that his form would be marred beyond human likeness, but then that he says that he will sprinkle many nations, totally looking towards his blood, sprinkling over his blood being the sacrifice that, is sprinkled over our sins. And then we jump into that passage in Isaiah 53 that so many of us know. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground." Well, interestingly enough, Isaiah earlier on talks about those roots springing up, and that Jesus is often referred to as the root or the shoot from David. "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem." Isn't that, I would guess that as Isaiah's listeners and readers were following along here, that they had to think, they're talking about our Messiah in this? They're talking about someone being a man of suffering, someone being familiar with pain, that people would hide their face from him. And yet as you look forward towards Jesus, you see that that exact thing happened and that he's despised, he's not esteemed. Isaiah 53:4, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted." But here's where it gets good. "But he was pierced for our iniquities." He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities are sin. He was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just take that for a moment and realize that God, Yahweh, has intended for our sins and for the suffering that we should go through and deserve to go through for our sins would be put upon this suffering Savior, would be the burden that would be carried upon his shoulders, the weight that so many of us, as we look at our sin, as we look at the things that we do that put Christ on the cross, that are impossible for us to carry, burdens that are completely impossible for us to work enough, to work hard enough to earn forgiveness for our sins. And because that's impossible, God says, I'm going to make my son suffer for that sin so that you don't have to feel the weight of that burden on you, but that he would take the weight. And so it says that the Lord would put on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is sin. Iniquity is every wrong thing that we have ever done and every wrong thing that we will ever do. Past, present, and future. That is the iniquity that's being laid on him. And in that last verse there, verse 6, it says, the iniquity of us all. All of us. It is not just an elite few. It is every single one of us. Our sins are laid upon Jesus' shoulders. That gift of his salvation is free to all of us, not just an exclusive few. And finally, it says, the Lord had laid on him. Jesus is the him that the Lord is laying that sin on, that iniquity on in this story. Jesus is the one who pays the punishment. Jesus is the one who was punished for my sin. Jesus is the one who was punished for your sin. You all, this is such good news. Do you understand the good news here? It is that we can have hope. And it's hope that is not based upon us having to follow a specific set of rules. It is hope that we can't do enough to make right thing, to do right things that are worthy of his love and that are worthy of what he did. It is hope that we don't have to endure that ultimate punishment for our sins. And then there is this. It's hope that there is a resurrection because we know, as Paul Harvey would say it many years ago, we know the rest of the story. And so if you'd like to hear the rest of the story, and maybe you haven't heard this complete story before, I'd encourage you to come back Easter Sunday. We'll be here at 9 and 10:50, and we will be celebrating that hope in the resurrection from the dead and what that means and how we can enjoy his salvation through that. I hope you're able to join us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, and again, in the name of Jesus, we are here with you. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters out there. I thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ that would, his physical body that would suffer on the cross, that would be broken. And I thank you today for what is now known as the body of Christ. That is people that believe and trust in Jesus Christ worldwide are a part of one body together. And even though we may seem to be broken apart in many different places, Lord, we come together as that body, remembering Jesus Christ and his suffering, but looking forward, Lord, to that Easter Sunday morning when he was raised from the dead and the hope that we get to have in the resurrection. And so I thank you, Lord, for the body, but I thank you, Lord, so much for more, for the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. And so, thank you for joining us tonight together, the Sunrise family. I hope you're able to join us again Sunday morning for our Easter Sunday celebrations at 9 o'clock and at 10:50. We'll be on Facebook Live, and even this week, we're going to be on YouTube Live as well. Looking forward to seeing you there. God bless you all, and I hope that you have had a great Good Friday.